Welcome to Pure Intuitive Talk with me, Trish Smith. I'm a multidimensional channeler sharing my gift to assist others to connect and work with their whole being, helping bring them into a beautiful way of high-frequency living. Immerse yourself in an hour of nourishment that feeds your spiritual journey and invites you to embrace your empowered soul. You'll feel armed with new understandings for how to shift from pain to love as we explore topics from shamanic sound healing to gut health. Are you ready to take accountability for the impact that we have on the world around us and learn new tools and techniques to feel whole again? Of course you are, and you're in the right place. Pure Intuitive Talk starts now. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Pure Intuitive Talk with your host, me, Trish Smith. Today, I have with me Julie Heitman, author of Why Birds Sing at Dawn and The Weighted Feather. Today, we're talking about grief. We're talking about loss. We're talking about the dying experience, our experience with caring for the dying, our experiences with grief. And we've got some deep stuff to cover, but also there's so much beauty in the lessons that we've learned with managing our own grief and helping others and supporting them with their grief. And so we just wanted to share some of that as well as the excitement of her new book. So it's exciting that your book is here because we all get to have access to it and your memoir and the lessons that you've gained and what you have to share with us. But it's also a book about heartbreak and a book about grief. So it's a lot of emotions involved.
Yeah.
But thank you for being here.
Thank
you. Can you tell us about your book? And
absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate you having me on. And this is a really big topic. It's something that touches us all. You know, no one gets out of life alive, and we lose a lot of people along the way. And sometimes we lose people who are still alive, and it still feels like a death to us when those relationships end. So the reason why I wrote my book was because I had about a decade of time where I not only was working with hospice, I just started losing a lot of people and some of my long-term animals kind of all at the same time in succession. And at the same time, I was supporting people who are also going through loss that were related to my own personal losses or who are just in my community. And I found a really natural vibe, you know, within myself to just be able to be present for them and be empathic and really compassionate and understanding to what they were going through. But I also witnessed a lot. I witnessed a lot of how people don't do well with grief. I witnessed a lot about people avoiding, people holding resentment, people going through deep level guilt, people having a lot of other amazing, beautiful views about death and having ceremony and honoring and, you know, being inspired in their own lives to live in a new way or in a way that they always said they were going to, you know, because somebody that they loved had passed. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like all of those observations were really important to put into a book. And so they're related to some of the death stories that I've written about within the book. And then I've also written some commentary about grief and our walk with mortality versus the desire for immortality. Many of us have a hidden desire for that. It's in humanity since the age-old mm-hmm. time, you know, thinking about the Holy Grail and the Fountain of Youth and a lot of other mythologies that are about that ethereal fire that is supposed to be eternal. And how we interpret that. So the book is a little bit more about the actual stories of grief and the ways that they unfolded, some of the major takeaways from that, and then a grander conversation, you know, chapter by chapter about the ways that we carry integrity within ourselves whenever we feel lost or whenever we feel like there's been a big loss in our life that's impacting us. Those wounds go deep and we decide how to carry them. Even if we choose not to face them, we're still carrying them. And they really affect the lives that we create and the stories that we continue to write and the relationships that we share beyond the ones that we've lost. So that's really the bigger premise of the book and an embodiment of the experience.
Well, I personally thoroughly enjoyed reading your book. From a friend's standpoint as well, it gave me more insight into your story. And we all have them, right? So we all have these stories that create how we're thinking in the world, how we're moving through the world, because each loss affects us in a different way. And depending on what kind of loss, sometimes it takes years. There are certain losses that can take some months, and there's losses that take years. And then there's also other losses that take decades. And sometimes we never quite recover from them. But reading your book, it does help someone not feel so alone. Like when I've read it, it's like, okay, it just reminds me that I'm not the only one going through it. And then also having your insight because of the work that you've done, it was nice to recognize that my experiences in caring for the dying, as you know, that's how we had met. We had met, Jules was working through, Julie. I got informal.
Jules.
Jules was working with hospice at the time, and my aunt was in her dying process. And so I was caring for my aunt while she was dying, and you would come in as a licensed massage therapist and were working on her. And so it's a really fascinating connection that we have in that way, because there's something sacred there during that dying process. And so for someone to witness that with you, for your family member, it really creates a bond like no other. So I'm feel very fortunate to have that and to have you in my life continuing. And I'm grateful that you were there for my aunt and that work that you were doing.
It's such an honor. It's such an honor. And I'm really thankful for the bond that we've created beyond the initial experience of how we met.
And for you, thank you. Me too. And for you too, I was wondering if you would talk a little bit on working with hospice. You know? I mean, that's an experience in itself. My experience with hospice was, it's just extraordinary. And as you know, I'm a trained death doula, so I also offer grief support in my practice, but I have not worked with hospice, but I, except for in my own personal experience, having them come and help. But those people, they are angels.
You know, one of the things that we used to say whenever I would communicate with other nurses or admin at the hospice organization that I was working with specifically is that, you know, it's a real specific person who's drawn to do this work, because it's usually too hard for most people to face death, even if it's someone they don't know. It's just too hard for them to walk someone across that doorway or that threshold, you know? And there's a lot of humanistic pieces around it that no one wants to deal with as a caregiver, you know? And then there's the spiritual aspect, which is also even harder, especially in our current culture, which we're such a mishmash of beliefs. And there's a lot of non-belief around the spirit realm or anything beyond that, which creates its own crisis at death, about the ending of everything. And so, you know, as a practitioner who worked with hospice, did massage as well as spirit work and acupuncture, it really just depended on what somebody wanted during that time. And a lot of times body work was more common because you're helping someone connect to their body still. Their spirit is still there. Their mind is still there to some degree, even if they're in and out, you know, in a subdued state. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things that hospice has to offer. You know, there's a story in my book about someone who refused to have hospice. And that was one of the moments that it became really clear how much harder it is on you if you don't plan your death. If you don't actually acknowledge when you have time and it's not a tragic event that's immediate, when you actually have time to say, these are the things that I want, these are the things that I don't want, it's important to help the others who are going to be taking care of you put things in place so it's easier on everyone. It's either easier on you, it's easier on those who love you and are caregiving for you. And even if the ones that are in your family or your partner aren't directly caregiving for you, they've hired someone to do that, you know, because maybe they don't feel they can fill that role, you know, it's still easier on them. It's easier on them to find the pathways to who they need to talk to get what they need done, because you've already set a lot of that up. So I recommend doing some research on that. You know, I think that there is a lot to be said for even if you don't think your death is right around the corner, having a will in place, having a very clear final death conversation with yourself of what that might look like. Do you want a funeral? Do you want cremation? All of those things. So back to hospice, my point in saying all of that is because hospice is a part of what prepares someone to pass in the easiest, most graceful way. Sometimes the hospitals really aren't the place you want to go. You know, you want to go home. You want to feel like you're in your own sanctuary in order to be released from this world. And so hospice gives you that opportunity. And hospice will come to a hospital as well. But either way, they're offering the opportunity for you to acknowledge that you are dying, that your death is imminent, and that you want to go in a graceful way. And that is one of the biggest things about hospice that most people really find deep appreciation in. And most people are drawn to do hospice work because they see the need for this kind of compassionate care at the end of life to make it the most healing, loving, compassionate experience for someone who's leaving the world, regardless of the life they've lived. So yeah, for me, it was really awesome to meet a lot of the other individuals who really work behind the scenes to get people the care they need during that really sacred time of life.
Yeah. What an amazing experience to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've never met more compassionate people. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful for the hospice nurses teaching me and training me along the way. And they were so, patient. Mm-hmm. And gave me all the information I needed and helped me to help my aunt as much as I possibly could, because the nurse came for an hour twice a week. Mm-hmm. And we had a couple more people that would come and give her baths a couple times a week. But other than that, without any experience prior to caring for the dying, besides my own commitment to honoring my aunt's wishes, they walked me through it, and I was able to do everything that I needed to do with their assistance, with their guidance. And also too, I appreciate you expressing how important it is to have those advanced directives and to have mm-hmm. your wishes in order. Mm-hmm. My aunt had all of that very sound. She knew exactly what she wanted, and that made it much easier for me. And the conversations are not easy to have, but they're so important.
Yeah.
And we'll have to get going to a break here in a moment. Okay. So we'll let everybody go to break. Thank you for listening to Pure Intuitive Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay tuned and we'll be back.
Life engineering processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to create a life of alignment on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join host Gabriella Embon and Dr. Pat every first and third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific for Wisdom Nuggets, step-by-step guidance to uncover the processes that help create the perfect synergy between your mind, body, and spirit to realize your true potential. Get ready for some magic wisdom on how to create a life of no regrets. Visit CoachingAcademy.net.
Join Dr. Ellie Zarabian, host of From Chaos to Connection, Growing from Pain to Community, every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can impact the world in the most powerful way. Whatever your spiritual background or cultural heritage, you can transform pain and trauma into community and well-being. On Chaos to Connection, Dr. Ellie helps you identify what you need to make progress on your life's journey. Visit CenterOnPeace.com.
Tune in to The Unlimited Mindset, how to have more success, time, freedom, and peace of mind every first and third Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Your host, Camilla Kahlberg, helps you create a great life in an easier way. Learn the why, what, and how of conscious awareness. Shift what no longer serves you. Camilla knows firsthand what results you can achieve when you commit yourself. To learn more, visit KahlbergCoaching.com.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for staying tuned. You are listening to Pure Intuitive Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. Here with me today, I have a good friend and author of Why Birds Sing at Dawn, also author of The Weighted Feather. And we were talking about the dying process. We're talking about death. We're talking about mortality, since none of us are getting out of here alive. But another topic that you and I have been discussing recently is grief and grieving, but also grieving as a collective. So I wanted to spend some time talking about that also. But there's so many forms of grief, and we've been talking about caring for the dying. And I personally feel like it's one of the biggest honors I've ever had, caring for my aunt while she was dying. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I remember after she'd passed the hospice nurses, I said, I wish I would have done this, I wish I would have done that. And they said, every single caregiver, when the person passes, thinks they could have done better.
Yeah. It's like being a parent.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that for my kid. And the reality is you did the best you could with all the things that you knew at the time.
And it's funny because I really thought, no, I really could have done that better, you know? So if anything, I would only want the opportunity to do it again so I could do it a little better.
I'm pretty sure you're going to have the opportunity.
But I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity to take care of her. And I know we have a lot of assisted living, and we have a lot of homes that our family members and our friends are in. And so I also wanted to encourage our audience to visit as much as possible and make the phone calls, reaching out to our elders. When I was going through my death doula training, I somehow had forgotten that death doulas also are caring for the dying of younger people.
Yeah.
Something that we tend to forget about in our daily life. You know, when we have a woman who has breast cancer and she's only 50 years old and she has less than a year to live, or we have children, as you know, we all know, that are also in their dying process. And so the people that are going through their dying process, there's nothing more that they want than to be with their loved ones and to have company and to have our time. Yep. So I would like to encourage our audience to do just that. And I understand that it's not comfortable. My husband's grandmother was in an assisted living home for a few years before she passed. And I remember talking to some of the family members, and they felt like they didn't want to remember her that way.
Right.
And so they wouldn't go visit. I just want to recommend going and visiting, because we don't want to have the regrets. And that's something that is also important for people in their dying process, when they are in the dying process, that those come up, the regrets. They're rugs, right? The regrets, the unfinished business, the guilt, the shame. And so for myself in my life, I try to make sure that I don't have regrets. I try to right any wrongs, apologize for mistakes, correct any, you know, things that I've done I feel like are important to apologize for, because those, that day comes for all of us,
right?
You know, unless we have that quick death that we're all hoping for. But if we don't end up with that awesome quick death that we're all hoping for,
time to think about it.
We have way too much time to lay in that bed and think about it.
Yeah.
And so, so I want to make sure that I spend as much time with my family members as I can, so that I don't have those regrets.
Absolutely.
When I'm in my dying process. And so I just hope to encourage our audience to reach out to their loved ones and spend as much time with our people as we can. As we all know, we're not promised tomorrow. Right.
We're not promised tomorrow. And, you know, I think that some of what you say, I have different responses to, because I agree that we shouldn't live with regrets. And I know a lot of people do. And the reality is that we don't really go through life thinking we did everything perfect and there's nothing to regret. We can continually tell ourselves, well, I did what I did and that's what I did. And so I'm not going to regret it. I'm just going to own it. And that's okay too, you know, to own it. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some part of you that still feels like there's a wound there or something that's owed, or something that you wanted out of the situation better for yourself, you know, in the way that you look at your own personal integrity that you want to do more with, you know. And while you're still here is the time for you to practice that, practice figuring out how to refine those pieces that you felt like you needed to own, but not regret, or not repeat things that you've already regretted in other ways with other people, or with yourself in different situations. So I do think that that's really important. And I would also say with respect to the dying, some don't want attention. Some do want to be alone. And yeah, I think it's important to respect that as well. And there's a interface that happens between the way we grieve and the way that the person who is dying is grieving for themselves and the loss of their connections with the people that they'll no longer be able to share life with. And so there has to be some sort of compromise, some sort of loving awareness that we offer to what their needs are, number one, because they're the one who is dying. And then what we also feel like we need to address for ourselves. And sometimes they're willing to meet us halfway, you know, and sometimes they're not. There are definitely those unfinished business scenarios quite frequently, even in those who have time to think about it, feel about it, and decide whether they ever want to say anything to the other person.
And having the courage to have that conversation is so important, because after the time is gone, there's no more time to have the conversation to learn, do you want more of my time? Do you want less of my time? Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? How can I serve you during your dying process?
Well, and what you're doing is exactly what I was getting to, is like, remember to ask questions. You know, it's really easy to make an experience all about us whenever we get emotional, and emotions can really make us blind to a lot of what we need to see. And so when something is happening for someone else and then we're being affected by it, it's really important to ask questions so that we're clear about what's happening for them and what's not happening for them, regardless of what our assumptions are, because of how we are responding to their situation, which is a very common thing.
It's easy to project when you're losing your loved one. It's really, so that's a place I found myself projecting quite a bit. It's like, okay, I have to get out of my own head because I don't want to lose the person dying.
Right.
You know, and nobody does. And, but yeah, it's really easy to slip into our own fears and our own desires during someone else's dying process.
Yeah. And all the other emotions that come with grief and the way that we grieve as a collective or as a family or as a relationship, you know, group, however large that group is. I think that, you know, some of the most interesting ways for me to witness the honesty that's come out of people is friend groups. You know, someone in the friend group dies and there's like a deep ceremony that's being held in honor of the person who's passed. And the people who are willing to say the things that they were upset about and the things that they weren't okay with about the person who passed, you know, is a part of the place where they need to have a moment to honor that part of their grief, of that wound, once again, that didn't get healed for them after that person's gone. And so ceremonies or gatherings and memorials and celebrations of life are these places where, yes, we definitely hold up and honor the death that's passed, but we also acknowledge our own pain around whatever is unresolved. And that can be one of the greatest times to get support with other people who knew that person and maybe have a similar story and maybe a different perspective or some piece of advice to offer, or even just a soundboard. You know, sometimes grief is just about being able to say what you need to say. Mm-hmm. And that's it. No one has to agree with you or validate you. That's not what it's about. It's you having your moment with your emotional experience. And if that's anger and resentment, you need to do something with that. Don't let it rule you, you know?
Wouldn't it be nice if people grieved in the same way at the same time in a family? Because what I've witnessed more of is if you have one family member pass and you have a spouse and siblings and, you know, maybe grandchildren or whatnot, it's like you have one person that's angry, another person that's, you know, grieving hard, they're depressed, another person that's in denial. And so all of the ways in which we grieve are now, you know, bumping up against each other,
right,
when we've all suffered the loss of this one person. So
yeah,
I don't know if we can put that into the works of like, can we all grieve in the same way at the same time? So we're not having to have this conflict with each other and our own family over the loss of, you know, so
I think ideals are fun,
Trish, right? Yeah. So me,
I think it's asking a lot.
So like much
each individual for the individual that they
And we have to make space for that. It's like, we have to make space for the possibility that when we suffer a loss, that another family member is grieving in a different way, and we don't recognize that they're grieving.
Right, because it's very easy to take things out on someone that you care about who's still there when you're upset about something, you know, and this is just because we're emotional creatures, because I feel like the most important thing to speak to is all the change that we've all endured in the last 3 years with the global pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been so many emotions, so many layers of experience. And I think that that is one of the biggest things that we should all be learning from in our own emotional field, in our own way that we project onto others, what it is that's really going on for us inside, in order to know ourselves better and be able to get what we need,
absolutely,
you know, in order to ask for what we need and then have others honor it.
Absolutely. We have to go to a break now, but when we get back, we're going to continue that because it's something that we are all wading through as a collective. So thank you for bringing that up. We'll get back in just a few minutes. We're going to break. Thank you for listening to Pure Intuitive Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm your host, Trish Smith, and I'm here with Julie Heitman, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life.
Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDene.com. That's DENEE.com.
Are you living life in full expression? Join me, Beth Wolf, on Life in Full Expression each Monday at noon Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn how to explore, elevate, expand, and live your best life, discover the seven dimensions of life blueprint of expression. Get ready to fully express, develop your limitless capacity, and experience amazement to become an igniter and inspire. Visit BethWolf.com to discover the dynamic coaching of life in full expression.
You can't just fix yourself on the outside and expect the inside to follow. Whether you're 5 or 85, healthy living can begin whenever you decide you want a better life. Tune into Keeping Up with Barbara Scheidegger every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn about implementing a daily routine and finding a balance to improve your life. Learn to live agelessly. Go to BarbaraScheidegger.com. That's Barbara, S-C-H-E-I-D-E-G-G-E-R.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for staying with us. You are listening to Pure Intuitive Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we are talking about loss, grief, mourning, the stages of grief, compounded grief, collective grief. So it's super, you know, exciting. We're having a blast over here. I'm just kidding. But it's something that nobody wants to talk about, but is also so important to talk about. And just before we went to break, you had brought up grieving as a collective over the last few years.
Right.
And we've all suffered so many losses. We've lost family members. We've lost friends. We've lost different freedoms. We've lost ways of life. Mm-hmm. We've even just lost relationships with others over disagreements in our belief systems or the way we practice our politics. Yeah. So I'm not sure that anybody on this planet has gotten through the last few years without suffering some loss through the last few years.
Yeah. And most likely in multiple arenas of their yeah. life because yeah. of the ripple effect.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's very true.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot to be said in these times of transformation where a lot of changes are happening because we feel unstable. We feel like things are getting more unstable. It gives us more outs to be impulsive or decide that, you know, who cares? I'm just going to do whatever I want because nothing matters, you know, and it's very YOLO, you only live once kind of attitude energy. Definitely heard a lot of people, you know, trying to bucket list it and then meeting resistance because there's just so many things that got shut down for a period of time and had a lot of extra red tape and regulation around it. And you couldn't go somewhere without someone judging you and pointing the finger and attempting to shame you for whatever it was that you weren't doing right. It didn't even have to do with the pandemic.
That didn't feel good.
Right. There's a lot of stuff about race that's come up. There's a lot of stuff about sexuality that's come up. I mean, our entire culture within this nation, our culture of cultures, so to speak, it's like everybody is saying, I have a voice and I want to be heard mm-hmm. and my feelings matter and my values matter and I want them to be acknowledged and I want them to be upheld. And that's a really incredible thing, first off, that it's even happening. Yeah. And I think that there's so much to be said for the way that we're always dreaming how to do something better and to evolve beyond the system that we're in. But there's so much happening at such a fast rate that there's a lot of unprocessed grief. There's a lot of mm-hmm. unprocessed emotion about all of the stages of change that are happening at such a rapid rate. And it's really easy for people to dip into mental breaks and psychosis.
And substance abuse.
And substance abuse mm-hmm. is a really big one, yeah. right? And I mean, the more subtle ones, right? Like recreational marijuana and alcohol. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people leaned heavily on that in the pandemic. I think that the highest rates of SSRI, which yeah. is, you know, mental health pharmaceuticals, you know, different kinds were being administered to people because they just couldn't cope. And now what are we doing? Like, are they still on them? Do they think they'll ever learn to cope beyond this moment? You know, there's just a lot of challenges right now with us learning how to build new skills in a very different world that's trying to supplant the old. And it's not that the old isn't going to get brought in, you know, I mean, it's similar to those moments when hindsight is 2020, right? There's a reason that that cliche exists. And when we lose someone that we love, whether through death or still in life, or we lose a job, or we have a moment and there's a deep conflict that creates a rift for a while, those moments are really important to look at in order to understand, you know, and have more self-awareness around what it is that we're really feeling and seeing about ourselves, about how we really want to interact with others. And that in itself is something that is hard to do all in synchrony, you know?
Yeah. Like
you're not going to feel anger at the same level I'm feeling anger about the same thing. You know, we all have our own life path and our life stories that set us up to have certain triggers or certain responses to when things get hard. And we're always given the opportunities when things get hard in order to refine the way we're responding. And that's really the opportunity. I think it's getting missed. I think a lot of people are shutting down from that opportunity and just saying, right. I can't, I'm just going to react.
And it was unfortunate. I remember a couple of years ago, it's gotten better, but 2 years ago during the middle of the shutdowns and the pandemic, mm-hmm. It was 3 to 5 month waiting lists in the, you know, major metropolitan areas all over our country. I don't know about
for
the rest of the world
and mental health
for mental health care. Mm-hmm. So any mental health care mm-hmm. practitioner, it was 3 to 5 months to get in to see it all as a new patient.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping also that people are considering going into that field, because there's a need for it, mm-hmm. but also that people reach out to one another and remember to support each other. I find that at the core of each one of us, we have the same needs and the same wants. And so if we're capable of overlooking the details that separate us, then we can lean on each other and we can have each other through those hard times. I think clearly all of us as an individual find ourselves gravitating towards certain people and not other people, but that's how we find our way through the world. And so finding our people, finding our own tribe is so important through times like that. Mm-hmm. And for myself, during those shutdowns, I ended up finding more people for my tribe. So that was kind of a really cool takeaway for myself through the time of loss and grief and not knowing what was happening the next day.
Yeah.
You know, because there was so much of that, like we didn't know it was going to happen. But being able to find like-minded people. So I'm hoping that we can also inspire our audience to reach out to their friends and families and create those bonds that are so important for us to have as a human being, mm-hmm. you know, because human connection yeah. is like, it really helps us physiologically. It helps us mentally. It helps us spiritually. Mm-hmm. And we really do need each other.
Yeah. I agree. I think that one of the biggest things that came through for me over the last year and a half of my life was just the deep awareness of who's going to be there when things aren't going okay. And realizing that a lot of people chose to isolate more and more when things weren't going okay for themselves, instead of sharing the hard parts, you know, sharing the hardship. And I feel like that really does take a moment in your own heart, you know, where you're saying, wait, like, how do they value this relationship? Like, is it that superficial of a relationship? They just want to hang out when times are good. They don't really care whenever things are hard. Like, what is the point of this relationship? And, you know, the reality is that a good, healthy relationship is people doing both, people enjoying the hard times as well as celebrating all the good times and finding a way to endure both, finding a way to be compassionate and supportive to each other through both. And there may be times, you know, where you need distance and you have to isolate a little bit to get clear, but you let other people know that's what I need right now.
And I
communication.
Think, yeah. You know, and I think really it takes courage. Piece.
Yeah.
You know, it takes yeah. courage to be transparent, to become vulnerable and to yeah. decide that you're willing to risk heartbreak, to have the depths of the relationships that are possible with friends and family. Sure. And if we have the courage to create those bonds, then when our time comes that we are going through our own dying process, we'll feel supported.
Yes.
And we'll feel connected. Yeah. I used to tell my boys when they were in elementary school, I'd say, be the friend you want to have, you know, be the friend you want to have. Yep. And so, cause I'd get the, nobody's calling me mom. Mm. Like nobody's calling me and asking me to go hang out. Well, you call them, mm-hmm. call them, you know?
Yeah.
But it's important because if we don't create the bonds with our friends and family now, mm-hmm. when we're going through our dying process and we're going through our unfinished business and our regrets, we're going to be feeling alone.
Yeah.
Knowing that we could have done our part, that we could have reached out also. Mm-hmm. So I think it's every individual's responsibility to take accountability for our relationships in our life. And if we're feeling alone and we're feeling isolated, then we have to take initiative and we have to reach out and we have to create the tribe for ourselves and our lives because there's people out there. I like to imagine, I don't like to, it's not something I enjoy imagining, but I often imagine like there's people that are lonely in their home, in their living room, and they feel isolated. And then like two blocks over, there's another person mm-hmm. in their living room feeling isolated. And I always thought, well, we need like a way for them to connect mm-hmm. so that they have each other. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe someone watching can create that app, right? Right now it's like lonelylivingrooms.com or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and find each other because it's so important for us to have connected relationships. And it's interesting witnessing this younger generation coming in because so much of their interactions are through the phone yeah. and the computer.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, our time, all of our time will come. And so we're going to require deeper relationships than the superficial internet relationships. So apparently we've got to go to break again. But when we get back, we'll continue talking about grief, grieving as a collective, and also the takeaways, also the silver linings and the lessons and what we gain in the beauty of that transformation. Thank you for listening. I'm Trish Smith, your host of Pure Intuitive Talk on Transformation Talk Radio.
Been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness, be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Have you lost sight of who you truly are? Thought leader Linda Lamp is here to help. She illuminates the divine within and walks you through the walls of illusion that hide the truth about your true nature. With her help, you can realize your true self, become a force for good, and create heaven on earth. The Internal Divinity Show, uplifting and illuminating the divine in your life. Second Tuesday of every month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What are you connected to? Or what are you disconnected from? Tune into The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TTRLive.com and learn how to avoid unnecessary suffering and activate your mind-body connection. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and express our natural creativity and exuberance as you learn how to look deep within and find your natural allies and connect authentically with yourself, others, and the world. To learn more, visit TheConnectedConversation.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Trish Smith, your host of Pure Intuitive Talk on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm here with a good friend of mine, Julie Heitman. We've been discussing your book, mm-hmm. Why Birds Sing at Dawn, which is a beautiful memoir, one that I'm grateful to have in my collection of awesome books that I love. And we are also talking about the dying process, and we're talking about the importance of having an advanced directive, and we're talking about the importance of building a support system. And we're talking about things that are heavy and they're not easy, and they're not even easy to discuss with others. And, but because death is a part of the life cycle, it's one of those things that I have personally found so much beauty in. And I've been able to pull like the treasure out of the losses. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the loss, but yeah. Obviously, even like moving, we'd moved out of state. And so I was grieving the life that I left behind. I was grieving a place. I was grieving a life. But you move forward and you find a new way and you learn to live again. And then you get to have those memories to take with you.
Yeah.
And so there's beauty in these transformations, and there's beauty in the changes and the seasons of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always become very clear to me at the moments of loss, how much I really loved whatever it was that I've lost. Mm-hmm. And the amount of gratitude is what I focus on. I don't focus on the loss and the emptiness and it no longer being present. Yes, that happens. But when we focus on gratitude for all of the things that we shared, we honor why we were in it at all. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, usually we don't just want to suffer. Usually there's something about whatever it is that we've experienced, no matter how hard it's felt, that we were getting something out of, even if that was more knowledge for how we do or don't want to be writing our story forward, you know? And that is something that's worth really sitting with and really letting into your heart in order to still allow yourself to be vulnerable whenever things get hard and whenever we go through all the stages of grief, where we bargain for what we want back, or we bargain for our own time and whatever we feel like we need to demand from the universe or life to give us.
Oh, I've done it all.
So there's all those pieces. But when you come back to gratitude and vulnerability, you remember how to be receptive to what life is giving you and what you already have in your life still. And those are the moments that I think are the most redeeming, because it centers you, it grounds you, it keeps you focused on what it is that's still worth living for in yourself. Sometimes we grieve so hard, whatever it is that we lost, we forget to live. And
Guilty.
And we go, oh, I can't do this. My heart is so heavy. And if we let the lighthearted experiences that we had with someone really bolster our sense of passion and our inspiration, then it's doing what it always did before and what it can continue to do for you moving forward, as opposed to, oh, I'll never experience that again. Or, oh, I can't have these emotions around this memory because it's just too hard to like even think about and have nostalgia for. And yes, it is hard. It's hard. It's a transformative experience when we are transmuting what it is that feels heavy and resistant. But when we get to the silver lining, when we get to the gratitude, when we get to the deep, gooey heart center, and we acknowledge all the love that we have inside of us, we still want to share it with others that are still a part of our life.
And that takes time. And for the individual, it takes a different amount of time.
Yes.
And I think sometimes people compare their grief timeline to another's grief timeline.
True.
And comparing never usually turns out good for us as individuals. I mean, there's times it's handy, but it's so important to know ourselves.
Yeah.
And to know when we're ready to move forward. And I find for myself, like I have days, just 2 days ago on Saturday, a few days ago, I was swept by the waves of grief. I was swept out again, and I grieved and I honored that. And I cried and I looked at pictures. And so it's one of those things where we just have to know when it's our time, but we have to be willing to give ourselves our grief. Like, and we all get to have that. If we've suffered loss, nobody gets to tell us when our timeline is and what it looks like, or what we can't tell others, you know?
Sure.
And so finding that way, that beautiful down to the heart of it and the gold that's there underneath it all is something worth looking within for. And so honoring our grief and spending time with our grief and allowing our pain to hurt is how we're going to find that. Am I wrong? That's been my experience.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that in the weakest point, we find our strength. And sometimes in our strongest point, we find our weakness.
Yeah.
It's just a reality that we go through life like this. And sometimes the peaks are longer than the troughs, and sometimes the troughs are longer than the peaks. And trusting that there will be another peak, you know, is important, and not forgetting that there will be times where we feel less on top of the world and on top of our game and on top of our everything, whatever it means to feel fabulous about life, is okay. You know, that's honoring the process of life, the cycles that teach us how to be better humans and how to create better relationships, how to communicate better.
And experiencing joy along with grief. I mean, for myself, we were blessed with a grandson a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Amidst deep grieving for me.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, life is just that. It's all of it. And so it's, you know, being able to celebrate with my grandson And then also being able to sit with my own grief. And so we are multifaceted people or, you know, beings. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a part of it. And absolutely, I was just admiring what you were talking about with the grief and the gratitude, and having gratitude for the depths of it, having gratitude for the meaning that it brings into our life that we loved so much that we grieved so hard.
And the moment that when you can't find gratitude because you are in the depths of it, that you remember to be curious, that you remember to ask the question, what is this showing me? How is it serving me to feel this, to think this, to be in this state? You know, mm-hmm. What would serve me? What would nourish me?
That's the perfect question. Mm-hmm. It just came to me. I also wanted to remind everybody, you were talking about ceremonies and rituals mm-hmm. earlier, and there's so much value in that. I myself, after my aunt's passing on the year of her death,
we don't really believe in
when she ditched the when she ditched the meat suit,
like embodiment versus disembodiment.
Yeah. So when she ditched her meat suit, I celebrate that day by planting a rose bush every year.
Yeah.
And I personally feel like although we've lost them here, they've gained them there. So that's their birth into the next phase of their spirit's walk. So mm-hmm. I know that they're celebrating that day. And so I choose to celebrate that day also by planting a rose bush and crying, and a lot of crying because I like to cry for myself, mm-hmm. sad mm-hmm. for me, happy for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's so much. It's overwhelming. Grief is absolutely one of the most overwhelming emotions you can deal with, because the memories of greatness from your relationship flood in. And then next thing you know, you just want them back. And then the next thing you know, you're so sad that you don't have them. And mm-hmm. what a roller coaster it is.
But to be an emotional human is a really profound thing. You know, the more that we try to compartmentalize our emotions and not feel them, the more we lose our way of being human. You know, there's a lot of layers to trying to control it with the mind. And that does work sometimes, but usually only for a period of time. It's usually not lasting.
Yeah.
So the emotions, the heart and the mind, they need to be in communication with each other in order to feel like you're really getting the full experience of yourself, of your relationships and life.
And so we'll have to get going. Can you tell them your website so they know where to find your book? It's on Amazon also, but go ahead.
It is on Amazon. It's also at powellsbooks.com. It's on a couple of other book engine sites for shopping, but you can buy it direct on my website at phasehealing.net. That's F as in frog, A-I, Z as in zebra, healing.net.
Thank you everybody for tuning in today. I know it's been a deep subject to cover, but also one of the most important subjects that we get to cover.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
Yes, thank you.
Really appreciate being able to connect with you about this.
Yes. And no one better to connect with than you about this, is you understand the depths and the heights and all of it. And I really appreciate that about you. So thank you everybody for tuning in. You've been listening to Pure Intuitive Talk with Trish Smith and my guest, Julie Heitman, today. If you're looking for grief support, I offer that in my practice. You can find me at trishsmithguide.com. Thank you everybody for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Pure Intuitive Talk with me, Trish Smith, your Pure Intuitive Guide. Come back and join us for encouragement to take responsibility and to connect to your whole being. Remember that every moment is the right moment to choose peace, acceptance, and forgiveness. We all have the courage to look deep within, get real with ourselves, and make upgrades to our ways of interacting with the world. It's been my privilege to share this hour with you. For more information about me, go to pureintuitiveguide.com. That's pureintuitiveguide.com. Thanks again, and we will see you here next time on Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.